take heart. Transgression is forgiven. Sin is covered. Iniquity is no longer imputed. Guilt is forever removed. Deliverance is in Jesus. How complete is your religious vocabulary? How well do you understand the terms used by evangelical Christians to express their faith? A surprising number of people are left in uncertainty by some of our familiar expressions. Take the word forgiveness, for instance. It occurs some 100 times in the Bible. God is introduced to us as one who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Jesus is declared to be the sacrifice for sin that all our trespasses may be forgiven. Christians are taught to be kind and forgiving toward one another, and yet many are not clear as to what forgiveness means. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5 makes it clear. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That wonderful passage teaches five great truths concerning the meaning of forgiveness. First, forgiveness means all types of sin are remitted. Second, forgiveness means there is a full remission of sin. Third, forgiveness means the guilt of forgiven sin will never face you again. Fourth, forgiveness means Jesus' sacrifice has paid the full penalty for sin. And fifth, forgiveness means you can have peace with God. Those five truths will form the basis of our next five periods of Bible study. Let us begin with number one. Forgiveness means every type of sin is remitted. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Note that term, transgression. It means revolt, trespass, rebellion. It is an open and daring defection from the will and way of God. In Old Testament scripture, there is a reference to the sin of a high hand. I picture it as a clenched fist raised against God as if to say, I know your will, but I refuse to do it. Now such is the spirit, if not the posture, of one who is guilty of transgression. Someone is sure to object, but surely no one would commit such a sin, would he? And the answer must be yes. Mankind not only would commit such a sin, but has committed it once and again. Through the prophet Isaiah, God lamented, I have nourished and brought up my children, and they have rebelled against me. Even more personally incriminating are the words of 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Is there any hope for one who is so seriously sinned? Oh yes, there is hope. It is expressed in the prophetic statement concerning Jesus recorded in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. He made intercession for the transgressors. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and in his resurrection, even the transgressor may be forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. We use the term sin to include all error, neglect of duty, or open rebellion against God. The psalmist, however, used a technical term for sin, which means error, failure, coming short of the mark. It describes a moral obliquity, which is marked by willfulness. Picture a man walking through the woods. He comes to a stream of water he wants to cross. He estimates the width of the stream in the light of his physical prowess and concludes he can jump across. He takes a run, leaps with all his might, but lands in the water. He has come short of the mark. Now such is the case of each one who tries to live right but does wrong. He is guilty of sin. On the other hand, picture a lad walking through those woods. He comes to the same stream of water. He too runs and jumps, but he has no intention of trying to get across. He wants to play in the water. He jumps with full intention to land in the water. Now such is the picture of a person who looks lightly upon sin and decides to play in it. He too is a sinner before God. Now, God announces that even those willful sins can be covered. But are they serious? Oh, yes, so serious that they close God's ears to our cries and His eyes to our needs. They're so serious that those sins are scarlet sins before Him. And they are so widespread, the Bible declares, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is why death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But is there any hope for the willful sinner? Yes, the Bible says his sin can be covered. How is that possible? Jesus makes forgiveness possible. He, his own self, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now examine that term, iniquity. It means to be filled with vanity, to be crooked, twisted, and leaning. It describes a person with a deformity or weakness so that he cannot walk straight. It is a term used to express the problem of men whose nature is depraved and weakened toward sin. Every human being is guilty of such iniquity. Now, that does not mean it is not serious. Quite the contrary. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was crucified and rose again, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And when one comes to him in faith, God takes away the guilt of his iniquity, promising, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Iniquity is a serious, universal spiritual malady. God remits it in grace and removes it in forgiveness so that it is no longer written against the one who believes in Jesus. Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, guile refers to deceit, craftiness, a deceptive spirit. The highest compliment Peter could pay to Jesus was to write, He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus was absolutely open and honest before man and God. Not so with men. They are universally afflicted with guile and needs forgiveness. In the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, there are no less than 120 different words for sin. Four of them are listed in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Examine those four words again. Transgression is an open and daring defection against the will of God. Sin is willful failure, a willingness to come short of God's standard for man. Iniquity is a crooked and depraved nature which expresses itself in crooked and depraved conduct. Guile is a deceitful spirit before man and God. Psalm 32 verses 1 and 2 lists only four types of sin, but in listing those four and speaking of the forgiveness offered for them, God declared that He can and will forgive every sin of every sort. Take heart. Transgression is forgiven. Sin is covered. Iniquity is no longer imputed. Guilt is forever removed. Deliverance is in Jesus. Come to Jesus Christ right now. Agree with the Holy Spirit's estimate of your sins. Do not try to accuse others nor excuse yourself. Call sin by its true title and admit your guilt to God. By an act of your will, turn from sin to God for cleansing. And then you will enter into the joy of the psalmist who declared, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.